Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Mary Walter, it has been a minute. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, I'm not feeling the love because it has been a minute. What the heck?
I know.
I'm just saying.
Let's get those suits together and those brand managers and say, hey, who the hell's doing this schedule these days?
Yeah, really. Really, you just have me in when nobody else wants to work is pretty much what's going on.
You know what? I'm going to send you Greg Stocker's number and email after the show. Mm-hmm. I think you should ruin his vacation right now.
Yeah, I've had this discussion with him before. We met up at... We were down in D.C. for an industry event.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, yeah, you just want a beer. I was like, oh, okay.
You just want a beer? Yeah. All I can do is
pick up the tab. He walked the streets of Washington, D.C. to go get, because the hotel where everybody was staying didn't have a bar.
Yeah.
And they could sell a beer, but only the manager can sell. They sell it, but only the manager could do it. And the manager wasn't there. So Greg walked the streets of Washington, D.C. to go over by the Watergate Hotel to go buy
where
a six-pack.
The Watergate Hotel.
It's just like, he's like, you want to come? I'm like, no, I really don't want to walk the streets of D.C. right now. Thank
That's correct. I agree.
Like 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. I was like, no, thanks.
Yep, good decision. Good decision. So you and I have not worked for a while, but before we get into all the stories of the day, and my God, we have a lot to talk about. You underwent a surgical procedure, and I got to be honest, and I've seen a few tweets, so I'm assuming since I'm kind of somewhat in the dark that the audience perhaps may have seen a tweet or two, but has no idea what happened to you. So why don't you lay it all out for us? What exactly went down with your arm, your shoulder, the whole bit?
Okay, so first of all, I'm not that person that posts all my physical ailments in detail.
Okay.
And the only reason I posted the picture, it's because I thought it was hilarious because I'm in the wheelchair leaving it. I had no clue what planet I was on. And I'm just waving like, ha-ha! I was feeling no pain and I thought it was a funny picture. So uh-huh. That's the only reason I posted it. So last summer, long story short, last summer, my quote unquote good shoulder, because my bad shoulder has already been repaired from a skiing accident. So my good shoulder, all of a sudden I couldn't move. I was like, what the heck? And so my husband's like, I don't know, maybe you got frozen shoulder. So I look it up and I'm like, that's what old people have. So I was very insulted. So I worked through it. Because I grew up with brothers, I worked through it, and my parents were always telling me to rub dirt on stuff. And
yeah, you
fine.
Gutted it out.
Right, and then I finally was like, okay, this is stupid, so I went to the doctor, and he gave me an injection, said, if you feel better, then I know what's wrong, and I can treat you. I said, okay, great. Felt better for like a week, went up going back a couple weeks later, drags out, and he said physical therapy, did like almost 25 sessions of physical therapy, wasn't getting anywhere, and in my last session, my shoulder popped out of the socket.
Oh, jeez.
So the physical therapist is like, yeah, I'm not touching you anymore. Mm-hmm. So long story short, MRI, surgery.
Okay. And so, is it officially frozen shoulder or?
No. So no, I have a hair on my face. No full tears, partial rotator cuff, partial superior labrum, partial supraspinatus, partial infraspinatus, fixed all that. And then what really bothers me is my bicep was almost torn off the bone at the top.
Oh, geez.
And so they just took it off.
Okay.
And then they reattached it elsewhere. So it's not like super painful. I just don't have a lot of motion. Like, I can't, because of my bicep,
mm-hmm.
I literally, if I'm laying on the bed and you tell me to just lift my arm straight up in the air, like from my shoulder, I can't do it. Like, straight arm.
Okay.
It just doesn't move.
All right. There you go. The more
you
know.
But I still do my hair and makeup with one hand.
Yeah. How about that? Mary Walter getting it done here on the last day of the year.
Lift it up a little bit. But yeah.
All right. So we have a lot of good things to get to. We're going to get to the big take of the Fonnie Willis situation from yesterday. We'll break that down in the big take. Then, of course, we're going to get to the media and the Democrat hysteria of, oh, my God, Elon Musk is apparently the president of the United States. It's not Donald Trump. Donald Trump might actually be the vice president. This is Elon's world. We'll talk about that. And also, I have my first annual top 25 Trump derangement syndrome rankings, where I'm going to give you my first ever top 25 for 2024. And I want everybody to react to this, see who I have too high, too low on the list, who I might have omitted. We'll get to all of that. But the big story of the day in the news is, of course, this Trump-backed spending bill to avert government shutdown. This story, obviously, courtesy that I'm reading of Fox News, as it fails the House vote. And I know a lot of people were tweeting about this last night, and this was a huge story. So let me just give you a couple of excerpts here. If you're not paying attention, maybe you've checked out for the holidays, you're shutting your brain off for a little bit. So Elon Musk yesterday sought to blame House Democrats for the failed spending bill, posting on X that the, quote, Plan B legislation is super fair and a simple bill that earned the vote of just two Democrats in the chamber. The new spending deal, which was wrangled to the floor by a vote by House Speaker Mike Johnson one day after Elon Musk and President-elect Trump heavily opposed the first bipartisan spending bill, failed to clear the House by a 174 to 235 vote. Now, just two Democrats voted for the legislation. Elon Musk goes on to post the following on X last night. A super fair and simple bill was put to a vote, and only two Democrats in Congress were in favor. Responsibility for the shutdown rests squarely on the shoulders of House Minority Leader Rep. Hakeem Jeffries of New York. Now, also, on the flip side, 38 Republicans voted against the legislation, which, according to Fox News, signals more troubles potentially on the horizon. So there's a couple of things that I thought stood out. And Mary, I want to get your thoughts on this. I saw an interesting tweet from Thomas Massie from Kentucky last night, who said, how about this for a novel concept? What if we just take all of these different elements and create single bills and vote on them individually? Thought that was a pretty simple entry-level observation that I think makes a lot of sense. Nancy Mace also saying, just because we went from 1,500 pages to 1,400 pages doesn't mean it's a better bill, doesn't mean you're going to save money, although I think I saw there was no cost of living adjustment raises for members of Congress. Remember yesterday we talked about it. It was like a 4% raise from $174,000 a year to about $180,000 a year. Of course, the debt ceiling is an issue, but Nancy Mace is being excoriated by some on social media for now all of a sudden wanting to be a fiscally responsible financial conservative. Your thoughts on what has played out so far, whether what you've read, what you've seen, comments, what you like, what you don't like?
Me. You're talking to me, right?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. So here's the thing. It's shutting down the government's not the biggest deal in the world. There's been 21 government shutdowns since 76 under Ford, Gerald Ford. The longest shutdown was under Donald Trump from 2018 to 2019. And the one who had the most shutdowns in the government, Reagan. And everybody looks back and thinks that Reagan years were pretty good.
Pretty good.
It was the go-go economy, remember?
Yeah.
So government shutdowns are not the boogeyman the Democrats like to make it out to be. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Like, oh, children are going to die. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Right now in Washington, D.C., today's the last day anyone is going to be showing up to work for those who actually show up to work until probably because of the way the holidays fall. They probably won't come back until January 6th. So what are they crying about?
Yep.
It's just a paid vacation on top of a paid vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stop with the hysteria. That's number one.
Yep.
What bothers me about this, and I agree with Thomas Massie 100%.
So do I.
Agree with them 100%. It should be individual bills. Congress, we've been saying this forever. People want to hear that. The people want to see that. Congress, a lot of different men and women in Congress have said, let's do separate bills.
Yeah.
So that the people know what they're voting on. But there's a lot of Democrats, especially, and Republicans, who don't want people to know what they're voting on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They don't want that, because then you're not going to be paying for salamander on a treadmill. So, I get that. But now is not the time for that. I don't think so. There was nothing wrong with that stripped down bill. It was fine. It was less than 200 pages. So it was a fine bill. They should have passed it, in my humble opinion. You've got to give Trump something to negotiate with. They needed the debt ceiling increase. They increase it all the time. Now, when a Republican wants to do it, it's because apparently Trump's the president now, they have a problem with it. So they should have passed it. They should have taken it to March, just to continue a real continuing resolution to just get to March, to get to when Trump is president, get into his presidency, and then negotiate for things. When you're negotiating from a position of strength, that's when you say, hey, let's actually do the bills one at a time. But now they're allowing perfect to be the enemy of the good. And they're never going to agree. And sometimes Republicans need to just get in line. It's better to have a half a loaf of bread than to be hungry.
That's very true, right? Beggars can't be choosers, right?
And they're the only reason they're beggars is because they don't have the majority in the House, because some of these states are allowed to count until the Democrat eventually wins a tight race, right?
Yep.
So this is the problem, and people like Chip Roy need to sit down. But I think that the feeling amongst the American people is we gave Trump a mandate, and we've given Congress a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't do it, Trump's like, we'll primary you. And I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he will. We've only got 2 years. That's it. Trump's got 2 years to get his agenda done.
Yes. Yes. Until the 2026 primaries. You're absolutely
so,
right.
So you know what? Let's get along, people. Let's get in line and let's get this done. Get it done.
You know what's so frustrating about all of this, too? And look, have some people read the 116 pages? Yeah, perhaps. Nobody read 1,500 pages.
No.
So let's stop the facade. And the whole thing that I hate, and I noticed this more and more last night about social media, is, okay, certain person on X was all for this new version of the bill, stripped down 1,400 pages. Let's get it done because one influencer or one politician was on board. And then the moment one politician says, I'm not going to vote for it, it's immediately, we need to primary that person. And this person voted against this 8 years ago. Here's the screenshot receipt. This person didn't defend Steve Bannon adamantly enough on social media when he was sent to prison. The sheer juvenile nature of not getting what you want right away. Like, I don't know about you, it's December 20th, so if I didn't get the bill last night, but I get it tonight, or I get it Saturday, or I get it on December 27th, it's not really going to change my life exponentially.
Well, for them it is, because Congress only works 3 days a week. They're out on Friday. It's true. They work 3 days a week. They travel on Monday and Friday. Those are work days.
Yeah.
And my feelings, well, we can fix that too, but you know, you don't want to. It's a part-time job. When you look at Congress, it's a part-time job. They're out, they get big long stretches for the holidays, right? They're going to be off 3 weeks easily for Christmas.
Like school teachers.
They're off the whole month of August. they're off a bunch of weeks, you know, for the 4th of July, they're off another week, they're off weeks for Memorial Day and this and that. It's a part-time job. If you want a pay raise in this bill, I don't know. Maybe do a full-time job. I'll increase your pay if you work more.
And outrageous. It's not the 4%. It's not the $6,000 that equates to and extrapolates out to. It's you have a 19% approval rating. Americans look at you and say, you suck at what you do for a living. Can you imagine in any walk of life where your boss says, you scored a 19 out of 100 this year on your end of year review. We're going to give you a raise. 99 out of 100 times, if you have a 19% approval rating, you're probably fired, much less get a raise.
Unless you're George Stephanopoulos and cost your company $15 million and they renew your contract.
And you get a new deal.
You know, there's that.
Yeah, nice to be Georgie boy, isn't it? Happy holidays. All right, 614, if you want to jump in on the whole situation with the debt and the spending and the bill. Again, we're talking, and again, I think Thomas Massie nails it. One vote on the clean CR, one vote on the debt limit, one vote on disaster relief, one vote on farm bailouts, all of that. It's pretty simple. It's not It's not rocket science. So if you want to jump in, you can do so. 855-839-1210. 615 Friday morning. Let's get to the last big take of 2024.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right. The big take this morning. Fonny's final failure. Farewell. Or right as we signed off yesterday morning, the breaking news came down. Fonny Willis disqualified from Trump's Georgia election interference case. It is over, folks. The lawfare against Donald Trump has crashed and burned. as has Fonnie Willis's legal career. And it had to be a formality after the bombshell revelations were exposed, right? That she and Nathan Wade had created a major conflict of interest. Personally, I think she should lose her law license and be disbarred. Here are the details. The Georgia Court of Appeals ruled Thursday to disqualify Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis from President-elect Trump's 2020 election interference case in the state of Georgia over the said conflict of interest. It is another major legal victory for Trump, who has repeatedly accused Willis of impropriety due to a relationship with the lead prosecutor on the case. The Georgia 2020 election case is Trump's last remaining criminal case that was set to go to trial. Two federal cases, as we know, Mar-a-Lago and Washington, D.C., have been dropped since his election win. Willis's disqualification casts the case into serious limbo and doubt. While Trump is also fighting to have his New York hush money case thrown out following his May 2024 conviction, the court noted that, quote, an appearance of impropriety generally is not enough to support disqualification, but said this is a, quote, rare case in which, quote, no other remedy but disqualification will suffice to restore public confidence in the integrity of these proceedings. And that's really what this is all about. Integrity of the courts. No more weaponized government. No more politically driven prosecutions. No more third world banana republics in the United States. Are you tired of winning yet, folks? I'm not. But it is official. Trump has won. Trump has been vindicated. Jack Smith, Fonnie Willis, Alvin Bragg, Juan Merchan, Tanya Chutkan, on and on and on. Prosecutors and judges, all of these hacks should be voted out of office, off the bench, out of the DA's office when their time is up. And Judge Juan Merchan, he needs to be ousted immediately. We didn't talk a lot about this week because there's been so many other big stories in the news. But he rejects the Supreme Court of the United States and their ruling on Trump's immunity. And that's not going to fly with some people, including incoming FBI boss Kash Patel, who I absolutely love and the deep state is very scared of. He had this to say because he is done playing games. Listen and watch this.
Where are the subpoenas for the judge in this case? And I just put up a post and I'm sure people are going to say, oh, it's controversial. Tampering with the jury is illegal in every state and every federal jurisdiction across this land. If you intentionally give a jury unlawful guidance, you're tampering with the jury to seek a political outcome. Where are the subpoenas for the judge in this case for his daughter's money bin that she has created to the tune of tens of millions of dollars? And oh, by the way, this judge is married to a lady who worked for Letitia James herself. So where are the House Republicans sending these subpoenas, finding out how much of our taxpayer money was being utilized? Yes, state prosecutors use federal taxpayer dollars as well. And I haven't seen one. I haven't seen one witness testify. What happens if these House Republicans just would send Judge Merchan a subpoena? What is he going to do? Not show up?
Well, those House Republicans are fighting for that 4% cost of living adjustment raise. New York Judge Juan Merchan, he had several other options beyond denying President-elect Donald Trump's call to dismiss his business records case. That, according to retired Judge Andrew Napolitano, who told Newsmax on Tuesday, quote, normally when the government asks to delay a case like that, particularly a government that's been very aggressive about prosecuting a case, the judge will go along with it. But he's got a couple of options. He could sentence Trump and suspend the sentence. He could sentence him to something that isn't even a wrist slap. He could dismiss the case entirely. He could hold it in abeyance for 4 years. But at the same time, nobody knows if Merchan will still be on the bench in 4 years or if Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg will be reelected. And of course, the media isn't too thrilled about the Fonnie Willis update yesterday. Nobody in their feelings more than Jim Acosta of CNN. Here was his reaction as the breaking news came in. Listen and watch.
We begin this hour with breaking news just into CNN. The Georgia prosecutor leading the state's election interference case against President-elect Donald Trump is now disqualified. CNN's Caitlin Polance is here with more. Caitlin, what can you tell us about this? This is just coming in the last several minutes. This is a big development.
A big development, and a big development that Donald Trump has wanted for a long time. That case against him in Georgia, the criminal case where it's accusing him and several others of a racketeering conspiracy related to the 2020 election, it's already been paused. Now, it's not even backburnered. This is a case that will be dead in the water.
Dead in the water. Dead. Buried. Gone. And Jim Acosta, he just had his Christmas holiday ruined. And I, for one, I couldn't be happier. But as this case comes to a close, because this case is over, let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? Remember when Fani was flaunting her cash? Listen and watch.
But I always have cash at the house. That has been, I don't know, all my life. If you're a woman and you go on a date with a man, you better have $200 in your pocket. So if that man acts up, you can go where you want to go. So I keep cash in my house. And I don't keep cash as good in my purse like I used to. I don't go on many dates, but when you go on a date, you should have cash in your pocket.
So my question was, where did that cash originally come from? If it didn't come out of the bank?
Cash is fungible. I had cash for years in my house. So for me to tell you the source of when it comes from, when you go to Publix and you buy something, you get $50, you throw it in there. When it's been my whole life. When I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you, I just have cash in my house. I don't have as much today as I would normally have, but I'm building back up now. So you just put money in. It's a very good practice. I would advise it to all women.
So you can't identify when you came into this cash or where the cash came from?
I didn't say I couldn't identify it. No, nobody gives me anything. I am sure that the source of the money is always the work, sweat, and tears of me. What you asked me for is, when did the money go in there? What I am trying to tell you is, so I got divorced in 2005 from my husband.
And
No. It's important. You said, where did the money come from? And I need to tell you where the money came from. And so for many, many years, I have kept money in my house. That money, in my worst days, has probably only been $500 or $1,000. At my best days, I probably had $15,000 in my house at cash. At all times, there's going to be cash in my house or wherever I'm laying my head.
The money that you paid Mr. Wade, the cash, in October of 2022, you do not know where that money came from.
I do know where it came from. It came from my sweat and tears.
You know which job it came from. Did it come from Fulton County or did it come from a private job?
It came from, what are you talking about? So it could have come from a private job because before I was DA, I was in private practice. So I earned money during that time period that's probably in there.
Sweat and tears. I mean, I know it's hot in Georgia. I lived in the South. I've lived in Tennessee. I've worked in Nashville. I've worked in Atlanta. But I'm pretty sure attorneys, they practice in the AC. And by the way, best of luck in your financial endeavors, Fani Willis. Maybe she can become a fiduciary in her next profession. And the only tears being shed will be Fani's, who threw away a legal career and a reputation all to take down Donald Trump. You hate to see it. And as usual, Trump called it. Here was Trump in Virginia earlier this year having a good old time at Ms. Willis's expense. Listen and watch.
I was indicted by Fani in Georgia. Fani. How did that work out? And her lover, Nathan Wade. And they hired him for almost $1 million because of his great, great experience. Of course, he didn't have any experience. He had experience in something else. You know that. A lot of experience. And at that, I'm quite sure he was very good based on the fact that she called him 2,000 times. I didn't know the gentleman. I didn't know him. Oh, you have 2,000 phone calls, 3,500 text messages. How is it possible? I know a lot of people. We like a lot of people. I happen to have a very good relationship with a woman called Melania. Yeah. But I would venture to say in all the years that I've known her, I might not have called her 2,500 times. That's all. I know I didn't send 3,500 text messages.
That gem from March of this year, almost a year to the day when the first indictment and the lawfare began, with Alvin Bragg and the office in Manhattan. Fox News legal scholar Jonathan Turley with the following analysis. Fani Willis just disqualified by the Georgia Court of Appeals. Trump appears to be running the table in these lawfare cases. It will now be up to another prosecutor as to whether to continue the case. The Georgia case did have some viable criminal charges against other defendants for offenses like unlawful access to restricted areas. However, in attempting to bag Trump, she created an absurdly attenuated RICO theory that should not be embraced by the new prosecutor. While this disqualification is due to the conduct of Willis and not the underlying claims, any new prosecutor will have to make an independent judgment on whether and what to prosecute. In the meantime, Willis has spent copious amounts of time and money to cling to the case. Most prosecutors would have seen that continuing in this case was undermining her office and not serving the interests of the public. Willis was so invested in playing this high-profile lawfare role that she was willing to suspend prosecution and endanger the case itself. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee correctly criticized Willis for her decisions and creating, quote, an appearance of impropriety. However, he left it to Willis to do the right thing and withdraw. She did not, and she forced this appeal. Trump is the victor. These DAs are the losers, but ultimately the real losers are the system and the taxpayers who had to publicly fund this nonsense. And let this be a lesson. Lawfare will not fly in America. And if you're going to take your shot at the GOAT, you best not miss. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Big take this morning. If you want to jump in, Fani Willis, disqualified, you can do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHD. And, of course, in the YouTube chat. We'll come back. We'll get Mary's thoughts on Fani Willis. And then Elon Musk. All the media meltdowns, the Democrats. It's Elon running the country. Cry me a river. We're back after this on a Friday edition of Kale and Company. Mary Walter and Dan Borowski in for Greg and Dawn on Talk Radio 1210 WPHC.
Today's first segment brought to you by Budget Blinds. It's the holiday season. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. Schedule your holiday consultation. Ask about their special radio offer.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
So I want to get your thoughts on, because you and I have done a lot of shows. Actually, the more I thought about it, when I was writing the big take yesterday and going through the four different cases and looking back at the calendar when those indictments came down, the arraignments, you and I have done a lot of shows on the lawfare and the weaponization of government. So your thoughts on not only Fani Willis, but this entire kind of puzzle that seemingly has crumbled before all of these overzealous prosecutors' eyes.
So there's a lot of things. You had mentioned, you know, lawfare is not the way we do things in America. This is the death of lawfare. I kind of disagree with you on that in the big take. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I kind of disagree with that. I think that there are many people who have been the victim of lawfare. I look at every January 6th defendant who has been in a solitary confinement for years without even seeing a judge.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the grandma who walked into an open door in the Capitol, had no idea she was doing anything wrong. She said a prayer, and she said, thanked a Capitol police officer on her way out, and then walked out the door 9 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
She was raided, handcuffed, paraded in front of her neighbors to embarrass her and humiliate her. She had to get dragged to Washington, D.C. They try to get you with lawfare, and they try to kill you with money. And she does. A lot of these people don't have the money to defend themselves. You know, the defendants in the Fannie, I call her Fannie just because I know it bothers her, the Fannie Willis case, the four of them cocked a plea. They said, okay, they pled guilty, and they paid a fine, and off the door they go. The statute of limitations for them to reverse that now is gone. Mm-hmm. So that's forever on their record. So she got four scalps, and that's what she wanted. People punch out of a lot of cases for all walks of life, for all sorts of different things. You know, doctors even, you know, they get sued all the time. So their insurance company is like, okay, you know what? You're going to pay a $5,000 settlement, and they can say, you know, that's it, because they're not going to pay the money to fight these cases. So lawfare in America will stop when we adopt a system like Europe has, where the loser pays.
You make a great point with, like, the J6 defendants, and obviously the resources that the average, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry has versus the resources that Donald Trump has at his disposal.
Right.
But do you think this is the end of the lawfare against presidents and high-ranking officials in elected office or primaried options, you know, the candidates that are... Because I don't think any of this happens if Donald Trump doesn't run again. Like, if Trump came out, I think, in early 2023 or late 2022 and says, you know what, I was considering it, but I'm 76 years old, I don't have it in me. Do we think any of these cases ever come forward?
So, you... Yeah, well, so here's the thing. Donald Trump is hard to beat because he has a deep pocket. I also think Donald Trump is like the luckiest, most protected spiritually dude on the planet, right? I get a green light on the way to work, and I'm like, woohoo! You know, don't buy a lottery ticket.
Right.
Donald Trump defeats, you know, every person who comes after him, something happens to them. So I think that's a bit of a karma thing. Some people are just like that. Does lawfare stop in this country? No. Democrats will do anything to win, and it's up. I think Republicans would be wise to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no shame. Who's been punished? Strzok and Page sued for them being targeted in the whole Russiagate scandal, right?
Yep.
And taxpayers paid them money. All right, we paid them.
Yeah.
So when there is no punishment and there's no disincentive to break the law, concoct a hoax, use lawfare, etc., when there's no disincentive and you can get away with it, then why wouldn't you if your ultimate goal is power?
You know, what's amazing about this, too, is when we talk about the media and the way the media told us for over 2 years that, oh, Trump is, he's been nabbed. They're going to get him. He's not going to be able to evade this case. He's not going to be overcome this level of evidence in this case. And if you think about it, it started with Alvin Bragg right around St. Patrick's Day 2023 at a local level in Manhattan. And then, of course, we saw the trickle-down effect. We saw the raid at Mar-a-Lago, classified documents, Eileen Cannon, the whole Florida case. You saw Jack Smith, Merrick Garland, Tanya Chutkan, D.C., and, of course, Georgia with Fani Willis, Scott McAfee, and, of course, her lover, Nathan Wade. And, you know, the New York Times, the usual suspects, the Washington Post, MSNBC, CNN. Donald Trump will end up being broke. Donald Trump will end up being in jail for the rest of his life. Donald Trump will not end up winning a prize. They were wrong every single step of the way. And ultimately, the only conviction was the one that basically nobody really cared about at all on paper. The only reason the conviction that happened in New York that people paid attention to, I think personally, was because, A, Alvin Bragg, historically, I think it's 60% of the time, has downgraded felonies to misdemeanors, yet all of a sudden it's a copy and paste indictment of 34 of the same charges, just wasting paper and the copy and paste button on his laptop, and the Stormy Daniels factor, because it was like the tabloid type stuff. And then, of course, you have Mershon. I've never heard of a judge denying, or not denying, that's not the right word, but refusing to acknowledge what the highest court in the land tells you. Like, you don't have the ability to reject what the Supreme Court of the United States says. There's a reason why they're called the Court of Last Resort. That's the fascinating part of all of this when you think about everything we saw legally these last 2 years, in my opinion.
So they do. Look at Judge Engeron in New York, who valued Mar-a-Lago at $18 million. He's not an appraiser, but that's just what he did. So there's multi-levels to this.
Yep.
For instance, McAfee with Fani Willis, right? He didn't have the guts to do the right thing.
No.
So, but what's the punishment? What did he do for being wrong? Judges have become like weathermen. They can be right. They can be wrong most of the time and still keep their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have George Soros, you know, the left complains about Elon Musk, but they've been perfectly happy with their own Elon Musk for many, many, many years.
Right. Now you're right? Exactly
so
right.
So that's cool. Mm-hmm. So they've been very smart, and Soros has bought these judges, funds their campaigns, gets them elected,
mm-hmm.
and they're all very, very liberal. You know, as far as Mershon goes,
yep.
if Trump wants to spend the money, and this goes back to the lawfare, and you have to have the deep pockets and you have to have the time. Trump doesn't care. He knows what's going to happen here, and I think he's absolutely right. But Mershon, it has to be challenged to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes money.
Yep. 855-839-1210, the number if you want to jump in. I should have asked you, Dan. Am I going long to 53 here? Or
no,
what?
You got to take a break.
We gotta take
Wait,
a,
suddenly right. The clock matters to you
yeah,
people?
Yeah, yeah.
When did that start? I've been gone a really long time.
I haven't hit a break in 2 years, and then on December 20th, I'm like...
You start at 6 a.m.!
All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour as Democrats and the media rage at the unelected co-president of the United States. Funny you mentioned Soros. Everybody seems to on the left look at Elon Musk as Mr. Big Deep Pockets. Now all of a sudden he makes the policy decisions. We'll talk about it. Kale and Company, back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Are you one of these individuals that right after Thanksgiving immediately flip into like Black Friday Christmas music mode? Like, are you driving around for the next 5 weeks in the car listening to nothing but Wham and Last Christmas?
No, I'm more like the classics. I'm definitely like a Bing Crosby and the classics. That's okay. What I love, you know.
Yes.
Nat King Cole, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when you don't have children and you work in this industry, you never have a holiday off because everyone says, well, you don't have a family, you should work.
Mm-hmm.
So because apparently I don't have any other family. If you don't have children, you don't have family and have no reason to live. So my husband, and it's true. It's so true. And then what's even worse is they go through a period then where they don't have to worry about the kids. But now, all of a sudden, they got to take off because it's their grandkids.
Yeah.
Like, that's a new phenomenon. I'm getting Christmas cards with people with their grandchildren. I'm like, my grandparents never put me on their Christmas card. What
uh-huh.
the heck?
Yeah.
Why are they putting their... I don't understand that. Do you not have a life?
No,
anyway, it's a different topic. Like, you're
yeah.
like now, if you're retired and your grandparent age, you should be out doing stuff
yeah.
for yourself, right? Like, go play some miniature golf. Take a picture there.
Yeah,
do
yeah.
something. You know?
Yeah.
It's all about the grandkids. Come on. I disagree with you there, Mary.
Well,
the
because you've been raised by your... But your grandparents were around all the time. Like, a generation ago, grandparents had their own life.
And those of us that do have children go through a period for the first 18 years. It's called having no money.
Which is why you should work holidays and make extra.
That's right.
So seriously, in all seriousness, my husband and I, in the time we've been married, because he's essential personnel, we've never had a Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's where we're both off at the same time.
That is outrageous.
Well, we don't have children, so we don't have families. So.
all right, 855-839-1210 if you want to chime in with your holiday complaints or maybe a holiday wish list song that you'd like to hear. Democrats singing a different tune as they are raging at unelected co-president Elon Musk. Phil, if we could have clip 25 here, that would be great. This was California Democrat Representative Brad Sherman, who kind of said, that's the mood here on the way the Democrats and the media are looking at Elon Musk's involvement with Donald Trump and Republican policies. Clip 25, let's hear from Representative Brad Sherman.
I don't know who's going to win this shutdown, but I know who loses, and that's the American people. And we know who caused it. We had a deal. We negotiated a deal. And then Musk decided to change the deal. Do I call him President Musk?
You can call him the richest, smartest man on the planet. That's what you can do, Brad Sherman. And by the way, do something with the hair. You make $174,000 a year. Either get the sides trimmed off, shaved off, go bald like me.
Yeah,
you know, get some plugs on the top. You got to do something there. Interesting that they are all once again picking up on the same verbiage here, Mary, because Axios with the headline, Democrat members of Congress are now incensed that the outsized power billionaire turned Trump lieutenant Elon Musk appears to be exercising over the policy making process. Some Republicans have even said, including Rand Paul of Kentucky and Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, that they've floated out the idea as Musk could replace MAGA Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. And of course, everybody in the media is picking that up and they're all parroting the same thing. Here's what I would say. I always like to hear the opinion and value what super, super smart people have to say. And this shouldn't have to be said. We all realize Elon Musk is not the president. Elon Musk is teaming up with Vivek for Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. Maybe their first act was trimming off 1,400 pages of pork. But the reality is this. When it comes to economics and money, I value what Elon Musk has to say. And Donald Trump has the smartest, wealthiest guy in his back pocket. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing for all Americans when we talk about excessive spending and $36 trillion worth of debt. I don't know how this could be a negative.
Well, Democrats, you said, I've noticed that this seems to be, they're all saying the same thing. They are, because the Democrat talking points go out and they all march in line, in lockstep. And by the way, if you had a picture of a guy named Brad Sherman, would he not look like that?
That's a Brad Sherman, yeah.
Right?
That's no doubt a Brad Sherman.
Yes.
It's the only thing I could think of is like, damn, you grew into your name, dude.
He did. He grew up to be a Brad Sherman. He was a little Brad Sherman. Now he's an adult Brad Sherman.
He does. He looks like everything a Brad Sherman would look like.
That poor listener named Brad Sherman out there is like, well, what about me?
And totally unacceptable, too, that you could look like that living in California, by the way. That's what I would expect somebody that comes from, like, Maine or Idaho.
Yeah.
You gotta play a little golf, pal. And get some little, you know, some color.
How many other states can we insult in during this conversation?
Oh, I got a lot of states.
So there's that. Listen, they're trying to sow some kind of discord between Trump and Musk.
Oh,
they think Trump has this huge ego, and if we call him President Musk, you know, Trump's going to get rid of him, etc. I would love, I'm sorry, but I would love, and it would, it could make 2025 the greatest year of my life if they pick Elon Musk as Speaker of the House.
It would be phenomenal.
Just to watch Democrats' heads explode. It would be phenomenal.
Could you imagine him every time he goes up to speak and he starts by saying,
go f*** yourself.
Yeah, it's an all-time moment. You're really going to blackmail me with money? With money? Seriously, money?
Go f*** yourself.
Awesome.
You know, and the thing about him is we know he's on the spectrum. Like, that's legit. It's not a slam or anything like that. He's on the spectrum. So he's going to say stuff just because he has no filter.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you just played.
Yep.
So he's just going to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. It's so funny because they're really like, oh, he's got a billionaire. I'm like, a billionaire running the government. I'm like, but you're totally cool with millionaires running the government, right?
Right, right.
Like, they're totally cool with that.
Yeah.
And they're totally cool with billionaire George Soros
mm-hmm.
rigging the system for them
but
and
not,
donating
but
to
not,
their campaigns
yeah.
and everything else. Like, that's totally cool.
But not Vivek and Elon.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Vivek, right. Think about Vivek Ramaswamy, who I think sometimes gets a little bit forgotten about on the other half of the Dogecoin.
He does.
This guy's 39 years old, created this unbelievable business. He's got a law and a doctorate's degree before he's 40. I mean, I don't know that he's ever, I don't even know how you do that, considering when you get out of college, you're 22. To go to law school, that would be 25. It's 3 years. Medical school's 4 years. Then a resident, like, I mean, has the and on top of it, created a multi-million dollar business.
Well, the key is you don't go into radio. That's your first step right there. That would be the first piece of advice I would give you.
Yeah.
Right? But the difference is Vivek is not living at a Mar-a-Lago. Like, I think the Trump-Musk relationship is like Trump is Elon Musk's emotional support animal.
Trump actually legally adopted Elon. He's now
exactly.
his son, and they've given him a spare bedroom in the house.
Exactly. He's never getting rid of him. He's hilarious. So I love to watch this play out, and I love to watch them lose their minds. And Brad Sherman, going back to him, we had a deal. You know what? Deals sometimes go south, kind of like when you promised Reagan that you would close the border if he legalized those 11 million people already in the country, and he did. And then you said, ha-ha, fooled you. You know, it's kind of like Lucy and the football and Charlie Brown. They do it all the time.
Right.
They don't like it when it happens to them.
Mm-hmm. 855-839-1210 is Dan Borowski. Fades up a little music.
What's happening right
some,
now?
Charlie Brown music.
It's the producer cue to say, hey, host, shut the hell up and get the break.
Well, it also happened that I had this queued up and she goes right to Charlie Brown. Look at that, Mary. You
know, look at that. Like see, that. Dan, it's like we worked together before.
It's like we were dancing in there, Marty. That was Primal Fear. Ed Norton.
I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I miss it as well. I'm sorry.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Apologies.
Hour two is on the way. We'll get to some media news, as apparently you could cost your employer $16 million and get a new deal. I'm going to have to jot that down for when my deal's up. And also, Joy Reid. Oh, if you want to stick around, you're going to have to take a pay cut. I guess that's what happens when you call white people mayonnaise sandwiches. Who knew? Maybe the racial grift is over after all. Hour two on the way with Trump derangement syndrome power rankings to wrap up the year.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.